When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Jimmy here as well. This Tuesday morning. Tuesday.
Go ahead and do it.
Do you know what to say?
I'm going to mess it up. Special teams, special players, what?
Special teams, special players, special plays.
Special plays.
Not necessarily all in that order.
And then, what's up, brother?
Yes.
Did I not do it enthusiastically? I'm just not confident in saying it because I didn't want to mess up the order there.
I'm the reason why they lock up a CVS. Is there
exposure
for sketch?
You were playing some random sketch stuff, and I thought his comment about the restraining order hearing was very, very funny.
He is kind of funny. He's swearing a lot more, though, I noticed.
But then doesn't he apologize immediately after?
Yeah, he goes, sorry for cussing.
Yeah.
But this is after hours. Where's your mom?
But not after.
I mean, he's leaning into.
Oh, hell, he got to make a pick. Yeah. He got to make a Houston Texans pick during the draft, man. He's big time.
Hey, so we're having a little fun with Joel Klatt before the break. Good guy. He's always been good to Nebraska. I think he's been straightforward. But
best analyst on TV.
Really?
Oh,
actually,
college football?
I'm there with you as far as college football people. Anybody that I want to.
Would he be better with a better play-by-play guy?
Yep.
Hey, put Joel with Sean McDonough. Mm-hmm.
Well, we could have media trades.
I put him with Brad Nessler.
Good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brad Nessler at fastball is now 75 to 80.
Brad Nessler in the video game days?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Joel Klatt, you know, on Fox, which is one of the rare guys on Fox that talks college football, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
He actually likes college football.
Well, he's not required to talk about the Dallas Cowboys or LeBron James on Fox every single day. So he talks college football, and we like college football, if you did not know. So he put out his preseason top 25, and Nebraska he has as number 22. And there's always this back and forth of national guys when they comment on your program. If you take it with a grain of salt, they're like, they know something that we don't. I know hype train is a popular thing, mm-hmm. fueled by diesel. I'm going to change it to the hope train. Not the hype train, the hope train that is fueled by optimism and competency, which you probably can't go to your come and go and get.
No.
But you can ask.
You could ask for it.
So
never hurts to ask.
I think it's behind the station.
I personally I replace hype with hope. But when like a Joel Klatt says something about your program, do you go, okay? Or do you go, he doesn't know as much as I do because I'm around it every day?
I say, okay.
The first one.
Yeah, I listen.
And if it's bad, I'm...
Because I think he's always fair. I don't think he's playing to any audience when it comes to his assessment, because I think he takes his credibility very serious. That's why he has it when it comes to college football. Like the one thing that I like about Joel Klatt is he knows the game. It comes very natural to him of what he's identifying during an actual call. When it comes to previewing a team, I think there is also things about an outsider's perspective of here's what I saw in the couple games that I watched. Here's what I know about what they have going on. And here's why I think it can apply to improvement. So for a guy that, again, I think is a very credible voice in college football, I say, okay. I don't say, well, if Joel Klatt said it, then it's the gospel. Then they will be a top 25 team. But it intrigues me more when I hear Joel Klatt say something like that as opposed to someone that, quite frankly, maybe starts checking into college football when we get to August.
Any other program that hadn't been to a bowl game in 7 years and is coming off a 5-7 season, which still had some things that ailed them, couldn't get out of their own way, the turnover issue, they would be they would be on radio silence.
Yeah.
It does show you that Nebraska still has a place. They have a coach that is very media friendly, that will do a lot of interviews and has content that is out there. Like, Rule's a smart guy.
Yep. Everything calculated.
Just in. There's always something in the silo that Matt Rhule has said. Like, he may have said it like 3 weeks ago, but now you're getting around to mm-hmm. writing about helmet communication.
Yeah.
So there's always something that is out there being talked about. 5-7, haven't been to a bowl game in 7 years. People still talk about Nebraska. Now, this is where it takes the jump, and we're not oblivious to this. There would not be this preseason discussion about Nebraska in 2024 if it were not for number 15.
Right.
I mean, that's pure and simple. Any chatter that has gotten more breaths nationally from here until the end of August is because of a quarterback.
Well, you're right.
And don't run away from it. Embrace it. That's part of the hope train.
You're right. But I also think what people bring up, at least it seems like you're going into a different, not you, but it seems like when you talk about Nebraska and why people believe if they're to be better than they were a year ago, that you're going to look at the big turnover situation coming back down to the mean. But what was the biggest contributor of those turnovers? Quarterback play. So then it comes back to number 15, comes back to what he can bring. Even this is what we talk about, not having to be a superhero right from the get-go, but to be a competent quarterback, to reduce that number. That's always going to be a part of every breakdown. This is the other part about between Joel Klatt and anybody who talks about a year two jump for Nebraska that I pay more attention to than ones that are maybe just looking at it in a casual manner, is I feel like, and we did this with Scott Frost too, I feel like the lazy approach to predict a year two jump is based on previous stints for that head coach year two.
I'm going to stop you. Not necessarily you, but I'm not here for Rhule and Frost comparisons anymore. They're two completely different coaches that go about their business differently. Mm-hmm. If you want to do comparisons, I'll do Rhule's past year two. I'm not comparing him to the guy he took over for.
Yeah, and I just bring that up because that was also the year two when people started looking at Nebraska and they said, well, remember what he did at Central Florida in the second year. Then people point to, well, remember what Matt Rhule did in the second year at Temple. Remember what he did the second year at Baylor. I think that on itself is lazy because every situation is different. Matt Rhule even said it himself. His year two situation at Baylor, far different than his year two situation at Temple, far different than what he anticipates his year two at Nebraska to be like. So I always feel like, and then the other element that always plays into it is schedule. Yeah, we've seen Nebraska sometimes with a schedule that has on paper looked more favorable or maybe more backloaded than front-loaded. I like the actual pieces of if you look into the weeds and you say, what plagued them a year ago? What are they doing to address that? Who are they bringing in to address that? Can that number come down? And can a team that already looks like, you know, from what they're already returning from a year ago, that was that close to being an 8-win team, can actually get over the hump to at least a 7-8 wins because they're doing that one simple thing, and that is bringing a horrific number way down to where you're having a chance to win football games there at the end.
Yeah, there's too many unknowns. I mean, they're gonna make progress this year just simply off of competent quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year they would have been in a bowl game with competent quarterback play, even with the amount of turnovers
right.
that they had. They would have been able to overcome that. They also had a more manageable schedule. So not every year is treated the same.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they'll take a jump this year. How far of a jump that is to go from 5-7 to add 4 wins, that seems to be a lot for a program that hasn't been able to make those kind of jumps in the past. There's too much unknown at the beginning of the year. That can be erased sooner than later, but he might be the only guy that puts Nebraska in a preseason top 25. Because there's nothing that I saw that says, man, they're making a huge jump. I would say they're one of the top 25 teams in college football. Now, I think it would be a major disappointment if Nebraska went through the entire 2024 season and was not ranked at some point. I do expect them to be ranked. I would be disappointed if they weren't.
Yeah. I mean,
we're talking about even if you're 25th,
mm-hmm.
what that would do for you. But there's still too many unknowns that I wouldn't make the jump to go, oh, man, they're preseason 22.
It's a leap of faith because of, well, the unknowns, but also I do feel like there's a section, and this is where Joel Klatt is a little bit more of an outlier. There's a section of people, I used to have this conversation with a couple of different people that pay close attention to college football. Scott Spritzer out in Vegas from a wagering standpoint, and then also Brad Edwards when he was the BCS guru. And they always came back to something very similar around this, between this time and July, and that is the trust factor with Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the national and local perspective, I think, align, is there are things that lead you to believe that it can be better, but can you trust that it will? Can you trust that those things that even are beyond your control, like health, that you'll have a little bit of the luck where, you know, you're facing minimal injuries? All of those little things like that that seem to, whether it's been coaching, whether it's been personnel, whether it's just been bad luck, have always seemed to rear its ugly head with Nebraska. So there's a trust factor. And I think at this time of the year, when you see something that, you know, Joel Klatt puts out, a regarded member of the college football community, highly regarded member of the college football community, it does make you say, huh. But to go all in, that's where I think that trust factor comes in. Can you trust Nebraska to finally get over the hump? And that's a tough thing to do with the amount of times we probably have all tried to do that based on what we thought we knew.
There's just too many unknowns. And I'm not saying they're going to last. I mean, they could be taken care of right away. Mm-hmm. Has Nebraska cured their turnover problem? Can Nebraska get out of their own way? Can Nebraska be better than a 60% conversion rate on field goals? They got quarterback fixed. But I'm still worried about the back end of that defense. A lot of you are like, wow, that defense can be better this year. I don't know. At the start, you got a lot of bodies that are in the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. But here's where I'm going at this. And I've said from the jump, this feels like a 7-5 team, and I think that's a successful season.
I agree.
There's too many unknowns, guys that I've not seen in high pressure situations that I'm not comfortable enough to go, yeah, they're going to make a jump. Mm-hmm. That's just me how I look at it. And how many guys in the defensive backfield do you trust? I trust the guy that's in charge of the defensive backfield, but there's guys that have not been under the bright lights yet for me enough to go, oh yeah, I know that guy's going to pop, yeah. That guy's going to pop.
No, and I think that's fair. And I think a lot of the narrative about this team going in as we get closer to media days and everything leading up to the preseason is going to be how good the defense was a year ago, that the defensive line is intact. People will overlook a little bit of what Nick Henrich, or more importantly, what Luke Reimer brought to the table, but feel like Tony White is a very good defensive coordinator. And it goes back to, okay, having a Buford, having a Tommy Hill back, but some key areas of who's going to, you know, where is Malcolm Hartsaw going to be able to play in a more of a natural safety, and will he have a bounce back year? I mean, there are a lot of parts about the defense that I think if you just automatically assume they'll be as good as they were a year ago. And like you said, Gary, because I think that's it's a fair point. If you think that they will be as good as they were a year ago or better, are you really expecting that right out of the gate? Because that's a tough ask as well. When you do have those replacements in the interior of your linebacking core and in the back end of that defense. I think everybody's excited about the defensive line. I think that's okay to be, because you got veterans and then you've got guys that are looking to make year two jumps. That's exciting to see how maybe that group gets better. But as far as the defensive collectively being connected from the get-go, to me, that's a tough ask. Can they be where they were by the end of the year? Sure, but don't you want to see how it looks early on before you start putting that on them? I still think they can be a very competent, functioning defense.
So you were on Klatt. Now it sounds like you're off. Like you were on, hey, 22. Now you're...
Oh, no. Okay. I'm not. Right. I'm not saying that. I think the Joel Klatt assessment when he talks, I will pay a little bit more attention to that. But I go back. That's why I brought up the trust thing. I hear you, Joel Klatt. But to put him in a top 25, this is where I'm still in that trust part of it of... Can I trust them yet? Because I do think there are enough things there that are very intriguing. But there are also enough things there that make me think, from a preseason standpoint, I can't trust that everything is fixed, that I am 100% confident that they're a top 25 team.
Yeah, that's why I say not get-go. Hype, you'd have a lot of knowns. And you're like, man, I got NFL dude there, and there. But there's a hope train. And realistically, Nebraska hasn't had many in the last decade of the hope train. I mean, the word Kool-Aid is used a lot.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't. I mean, I'd pour a glass of Kool-Aid. I would leave it in the refrigerator for a little bit. You know, and there will probably be a point first month of the season that you will pull it out and go, And I hope that's the case. But I just can't go all in with some unknowns until I see him actually play football. And I know that's not good because we're on the radio and we're supposed to make predictions and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm just learned from the past. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to get burned. I don't play with fire anymore. I used to be a pyromaniac, and then I went and bought Def Leppard's album. And I'm like, this is great. Okay,
this is a good album.
I once set the rug on my carpet in my bedroom on fire because I wanted to see it burn.
Can I ask you, do you like fireworks? Sorry, just felt like that was appropriate to say
Not bad.
Be setting them off at Warner Park. Got a part-time job. All right, 7:02. There is more on this season because Nebraska football was very active yesterday here in Omaha. Just it's nice to see the in-state program using their resources. When you have things available to you that nobody else does and you use them, thank you. And you never know what's going to happen. And finally, Nebraska football has started to do that, and they're making a hell of an impact. That and much more. Ben Columbus from Nebraska Baseball and Brian Christofferson, not from Nebraska Baseball, going to join us before the show is over on this Tuesday as we roll till 10. Jimmy's got an update coming up next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.